You're tuned in to the Kojo Namdi show for one final time on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. In 1998, two graduate students founded a company called Google. My Leadership Washington classmate in 1998, Anthony Williams, won the D.C. mayoral election. And WAMU invited yours truly to host a daily talk show. Back then, it was called Public Interest, later renamed the Kojo Namdi Show. 23 years later, we've come to the last Kojo Namdi Show. I'll still host the Politics Hour with Kojo Namdi each Friday. But this is the last broadcast of the daily show. For me, it's been an incredible 2+ decades. Today, with some special guests, we're going to take this final hour to remember some of our favorite moments in the show's history. This is no April Fool's Day joke. Today is my last broadcast on the Kojo Namdi Show. I'd like to welcome my first guest, the one and only Diane Rehm. Diane Rehm is now the host of the On My Mind podcast and for 37 years hosted the Diane Rehm Show here on WAMU. Diane, welcome. So good to have you on.
Oh, Kojo, it's my pleasure. But I have to say it's a mixed pleasure because while I'm so happy you came to WAMU more than 20 years ago, and even though you are going to continue with the Friday, the Politics Hour with Kojo Namdi, I am sad to see the end of the Kojo Namdi Show. I want to know how you're feeling today.
I have mixed feelings today, Diane. On the one hand, I am going to be only working on a part-time basis and therefore opening up my life and my schedule for other things that I have been wanting to do and postponing for a long time. On the other hand, I have grown to love doing this show. I have grown to love my producers, and I've grown to love my listeners, and I've grown to love the engineers. And so I'll be missing that. So it is with mixed feelings that I am approaching today's day. It is bittersweet for me.
And how is your wife going to feel about your leaving the daily program?
She is ecstatic about my leaving the daily program because she thought I should have been retiring years ago. And so it is finally happening, and she is ecstatic about that. The fact, though, is that I'll continue to do the Politics Hour with Kojo Namdi, and at some point, that may move back into the station after the pandemic is over. And so, like you, I will still have a space in the station. And after I have been home so much for the past year, I think she's going to be glad to have me go out every once in a while.
Kojo, you know, people have been listening to you for years and years. They may not know your very interesting personal history. You're an immigrant to this country and a naturalized citizen. Tell us where you're from and why you came here.
I am from Guyana. It's the only English-speaking country in South America. It's bordered by Brazil, Venezuela, and French Guiana. And I decided to leave Guyana in the mid-1960s to first attend McGill University in Montreal, Canada. And that was a heady period of the civil rights movement known as the Black Power era. And a lot of black students were moved by the whole notion of black power. I became one of those students. And as a result of that, became deeply interested in the civil rights movement. Moved to New York for a while to pursue my interest in the civil rights movement, even briefly joined a Black Panther Party chapter in New York, and then felt that I could get more accomplished if I came to Washington. I had many friends in Washington who were attending Howard University, and when I came here, I found mentors who had been activists in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, And those activists had formed an organization that I became a part of called the Center for Black Education. That led me to their management at what was then known as Drum and Spear Bookstore. And it was during that period of time that I got to experiment, if you will, with radio. And long story short, was hired as a news editor at Howard University Radio in 1973.
And eventually became the host of an evening program at Howard University, a television program, which is actually how you and I first met.
Exactly right. I was a regular listener to your radio program, and so we decided that we wanted to do occasionally, I think maybe monthly, an episode of the show called Evening Exchange, in which we tried to essentially put our ears to the ground of what was going on around the world in this region. And who better to do that than a radio talk show host who was doing this every day? And so it was a no-brainer to invite you on the show. And then the next thing I know, you had invited me on your show.
Exactly. Now, lots of folks may not know that your parents did not name you Kojo. What was your name?
My parents got a little extravagant with the names. They named me Rex Orville Montague, and my last name was Paul, so I'm Rex Orville Montague Paul. When I was growing up, the kids in elementary school, unaware, as my father was aware, that Rex meant king in Latin, the only reference my classmates in elementary school had and in kindergarten had for Rex was that it was a dog's name. So they were like, why would your parents give you a dog's name? No. We didn't know Latin, so we didn't know that. And then I think they named me Montague because they were fascinated with Romeo and Juliet, the Montagues versus the Capulets. And so they liked the name Montague. So they got a little carried away.
And who chose Kojo?
I chose Kojo because during the period when I was learning more about Black history and Black consciousness, I wanted to have a name that associated me with the history of Black people coming from Africa. And Kojo means born on Monday in a Ghanaian language. And I happened to be born on Monday, and that's how I chose Kojo.
Well, I have to tell you, Kojo is the perfect name for you. And I'm so glad you chose it. It's one we all love and know. There is only one Kojo. And I am so, so happy you came to WMU.
Well, you should be happy because you were instrumental in my coming to WMU. I suppose I do have to thank you for that. But what convinced you before I had even convinced myself, because I was hesitant, what convinced you that this was the role for me?
I believe that your voice and your listening ability, which is just one of your great talents, had to be presented to a national audience. And I just knew you were the person for the job. And at first, dear Kojo, you said, no, 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 no. And I kept saying, but yes, yes, yes. And so we went back and forth for a while. And you finally did come to WAMU and present your listeners with a program not only for this community, but for the world. I am a native Washingtonian. I have been here all my life, but I have learned so much from you, and for that, I want to thank you. I've even had to ask you for whom to vote.
On occasions, you really have, because you knew that on the politics hour, we do all of the local politics. And so Diane always wanted to be informed, and she felt if she asked me, then she'd actually know who to vote for.
Exactly.
But I may need some more advice from you, but I'll put it first in the hands of Daniel in Northeast D.C. Daniel, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Kojo. There are two show suggestions I have for the Politics Hour, and they're important D.C. African-American cultural sites. One is the Howard University Divinity School, which is a beautiful historic site with an amazing Art Deco building at 14th and Shepherd Northeast. And the other is the McMillan Park that we're trying to save from massive development. And we're at North Capitol with those weird silos. And we'd love Diane Reams and the producers at WAMU to help the public save McMillan Park.
Well, at least and you stop. You won't be able to do that on the Kojo Namdi show anymore. You won't be able to call in pretending to ask about one thing and then ask about something else, which you have been doing for years. But thank you anyway for listening. Diane, we only have about a minute left, but you semi-retired a few years ago, ending the Diane Reams show after 37 years. I'll be transitioning from a daily show to hosting the Politics Hour on Fridays. Do you have any advice for me at this juncture? You seem busier than ever.
Well, that's what I was about to say to you. The thing you have to learn to do is to say no. You have to make sure you pick and choose carefully, because I know my friend Kojo Namdi is going to be inundated with requests to do this, to do that, to come here, speak there. I know that for a fact. And I wish you all success, dear friend. I love you very, very much.
I love you too, and it started happening already, the request. Diane Reams is the host of the On My Mind podcast. Diane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me, Kojo.
Then as we go to break, listen to two of my favorites from this region, late musical icons together, Eva Cassidy and Chuck Brown. I'm Kojo Nam.
Oh, baby, I need your love so bad.
I need someone's lips to feel next to mine. I need someone to stand.
Welcome back on this final broadcast of the Kojo Namdi Show, or the Kojo Show as we call it. It's my understanding that we now have a mystery guest. Mystery guest, identify yourself, please.
Hi there. Kojo, it's Scott from Foggy Bottom calling.
Scott Simon.
Long-time fan, first-time caller.
I'd know that
Kojo,
voice anyplace.
My question is, I have done everything but prostrate myself humbly to get on the Friday news roundup. And you stop total strangers in Union Station and say, would you like to be on the Friday news roundup?
Well, I have
I had to get that off my chest. How can you do this to us? How can you leave us when we need you more than ever?
Because our listeners to this station still have Weekend Edition Saturday, which you host,
so they'll
be able to get some relief from that.
Ah, God bless you. Look, I want to say something just while I have the chance. You are an inspiration. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is better with callers than you. Your courtesy, your civility, your understanding. You're insistent with guests, but your respect for callers, perhaps not me right now, but in any event, your respect for callers, and the way you have taken us as your listeners, brought us into the community, brought us into your hearts and minds, and expanded our understanding of where we live and who is part of our community and how we relate together. I mean, you and I have kidded about this, but I really think that you're a national monument in and of yourself, and you have increased the understanding and humanity of this community when, yes, it's needed at most. And I think this is a better city because of the way you have elevated us. Thank you.
Scott Simon, thank you very much. Our listeners should know that Scott and I first met when we were both cast in a production together at Studio Theater, and I discovered that Scott was a veteran of Second City TV. So in a future life, Scott, it is my hope that once again we'll be able to get together on the stage someday.
I was going to suggest that, you know. I mean, we should. I think we could go on the road together, even if the road is only Rhode Island Avenue. But in any event,
exactly
the Studio
right.
Theater is 6th Street or something, right? But I mean, you know,
yes.
Yeah. Who would want my? And my God, do you remember we were profane, weren't we?
Oh gosh, yes. Oh yes, and we'll be able in future years to wheel ourselves over there and get on stage and perform anyway. Scott, thank you so much for calling.
Well, God bless. Thanks for answering, okay? And look, you and I remain friends. So when I say stay in touch, I mean stay in touch. And I know you will stay in touch with your listeners and we'll still be on the air. But, you know, I don't view it as a loss so much as an opportunity to mark what you've given this community. Thank you so much. Look, Kojo, on behalf of my children, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Scott Simon is the host of Weekend Saturday on NPR. Here is Jacob in Arlington, Virginia. Jacob, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. I just wanted to call in and thank you. I started listening to you about 13 years ago when I first moved to the D.C. area, and I think you really got me hooked on WAMU, and it's going to be a great loss. You know, you've really become part of my daily routine, and listening to you, I've had the fortune of being on the air a few times, and it's just always a wonderful show, and you know, it's going to be a big shoes to fill for that hour.
Jacob, thank you very much for your call, and thank you for listening. Maggie emails, I grew up listening to your show. When I moved to Seattle after college, my mom asked me how I was doing. My reply, I'm missing the Kojo Namdi show. Thank you for all your work. You have been a steady presence in the lives of many. Thank you for bringing important voices and perspectives onto the air. So glad you'll be on each Friday for the Politics Hour. And speaking of important voices and perspectives, joining us now is Maurice Jackson. Maurice is a professor of history and African American studies at Georgetown University. Maurice, welcome.
Brother man, I'm going to miss you.
Maurice, you and I go way back. I first met Maurice Jackson when I was working at Drum and Spear Bookstore, and some of the people who mentored me had the good sense to hire Maurice Jackson to also work at Drum and Spear Bookstore. Maurice, then we were both young. You were a little younger than I was, but how are you doing?
I'm okay, man. I get up every morning and I'm trying to finish a book, but I stop every day at lunch and listen to the Kojo Namdi show. And then I go back to work.
Maurice, what does this show mean to you?
You know, Kojo, you have been just a ray of light and the hard truth, and sometimes they don't go together. you've always told the truth, but it's like Toni Morrison said about a king. You made us look beyond ourselves, and that's what you do. You make us think. You make the local global and the global local, and many people don't do that. They tend to think that if you live in Washington, or you live, or if you're poor, you're somehow different. But you made all of us feel that we are worthy. And that's not something that many people do. So thank you. And I have not much advice, but I'm going to tell you this. Start working on those memoirs. And then, as you know, C.L.R. James has a great book on cricket, and so does Michael Manley. And I'm waiting for the Kojo Namdi book on cricket because I know that's the one thing that you do to get out of your wife's hair. You go to cricket matches.
That's right. That's exactly right. Maurice Jackson, thank you so much. Maurice Jackson is a professor of history and African-American studies at Georgetown University. There have been some memorable moments in my 23 years on air. We've been listening back and we've collected a few of our favorites. Give a listen. From WAMU at American University in Washington, this is Public Interest. I'm Kojo Namdi. How about the new smartphones?
Smartphones?
Uh-huh. You're starting to advertise them a lot here now.
All the time. They're not only smartphones. They can take pictures. They can make coffee. They can paint. They can lay cars. They can do everything. These phones are everything.
I was on the Metro last night, and the phone was going beep, boop, boop, boop. The guy was playing a game.
And you could do all kinds of things with these phones.
Girl, the phone learns to take our trash. I'm not interested in it.
Adults, you're welcome to listen. But on Kojo for Kids, it's kid callers only. Here now is six-year-old Emily in Maryland. Emily, it's your turn. You're on the air. Go ahead, Emily.
I want to know what inspired you to play basketball.
Here is Keith in White Plains, Maryland. Keith, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. Elizabeth, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. Here now is Lena in Rockville, Maryland. Lena, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Kojo. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Kojo, thanks so much for putting me on, sir. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hi, Kojo. Long-time listener and member of WAMU.
First-time caller in. Not a long-time listener, but...
Kojo, you may recognize me.
Oh, I recognize that voice immediately.
That's... I get to say I'm a first-time caller, long-time producer.
Wait a second. Something is going on in the studio, and it is shaking here. That's why I guess we're experiencing some kind of earthquake or movement here, but... Deborah, you should know that South Africa is of particular importance. Let's just do this one time today so we don't have to do it anymore. Sing the song.
Sing it?
Yeah.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go places high. Take a look, it's in a book. On Reading Rainbow.
Was he off key, Lamar?
No, you know what? Randy would say a little pitchy dog, but you know what? I ain't mad at you.
Thank you very much for your call.
Tell your leader or your listeners about, we did this with...
Oh, they are in fact my leaders. You're right, but go ahead.
That's true. Well said.
Joining us to discuss what this last year has meant for America and his own upbringing in the Washington region is Ta-Nehisi Coates. Ta-Nehisi, thank you for joining us.
Oh, such a pleasure to be here, Kojo.
Ruby Bridges, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's indeed an honor.
Bill Nye, welcome.
Greetings. So good to be on the show. Everybody be safe out there.
Elena Deladon, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kojo. Thank you so much for having me on.
John Doolittle, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Joining us to discuss this is Elizabeth Acevedo. Good to see you again. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Kojo. It's good to be here.
Chadwick Boseman joins us in studio. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Harry Belafonte joins us in studio. He's a singer, songwriter, actor, and social activist. Harry Belafonte, so good to have you here.
At long last.
For me.
I'm a big fan of yours.
I have been.
And I've been listening to you for a long time.
I have a fan of yours for longer than you know. Lonnie Bunch, good to talk to you again.
It's always great to be with you. How are you, my friend?
Abby Wambach, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Kojo. Really, it's truly an honor. A big fan, and so is my wife, Glennon.
Well, Kojo, it's so great to be back, and I just want to thank you so much today for giving voice to about 8 million cicadas that are going to appear here in the DMV in just about 2 months.
Jason Reynolds, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it. Always a pleasure, Kojo. Take care, man.
Jose Andres, welcome. And how are you doing, my friend?
Well, now that I am with you, Kojo, I feel amazingly well because, my friend, I miss you. And every time I listen to your voice, it's kind of a voice that reminds me that I belong to Washington, D.C., and I thank you. I thank you for that.
Just a little bit of what you've been hearing over the last 23 years here. We got an email from Raynell Cooper in San Francisco. I was an intern in 2013 and a part-time producer in 2015-2016, and working on the show was an absolutely memorable experience throughout for me too, Raynell. I appreciated the opportunity to work on fascinating segments on everything from the Purple Line to raw milk. It's heartbreaking that Washingtonians will no longer get this opportunity to listen and speak on these important local issues. My favorite Kojo moments were his interviews with Ta-Nehisi Coates. Those interviews were so personal and in-depth and truly one-of-a-kind. One-of-a-kind looks into one of our generation's most important thinkers. Because, Raynell, in part, as you know, Ta-Nehisi's father, Paul Coates, is a friend of mine, so I very often think of Ta-Nehisi as a surrogate son of mine, and that's why I think our interviews go the way they do. But Raynell, it was wonderful working with you too. Here now is Sandra in Washington, D.C. Sandra, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Kojo, I called to let you know that I am truly going to miss you. I had been listening to you for many, many years, and I also was so... you know, you have twin sons, and so I'm a twin also. I'm an identical twin. So when I found out you had twin sons, I said, well, Kojo has to be special. And not only that, you just have so much patience, and you let your callers talk, and you listen, and you have a good spirit about you. So I just want to just say goodbye to you, and I wish you well for anything that you decide to do, Kojo.
Sandra, thank you very much for your call. And I'm glad you mentioned my twin sons. I have five sons in all. And a person who knows my sons, and he'll tell you his relationship with one of them, is Ethelbert Miller. Ethelbert Miller joins us now. Ethelbert Miller is a poet, educator, and literary activist in Washington, D.C. E. Ethelbert Miller. Ethelbert, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Kojo, man, thank you for inviting me. I feel like the last poet on your show.
Do you want to tell our listeners how you and I first met?
Well, I might be at Drum and Spear Bookstore.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly, you know, might be Drum and Spear. Ivy Young was over there. More recently, we just had on the air. I mean, that was I must have been 17 years old when I met you.
Yes, you had just come to Howard University, and one of the first places you found was that bookstore. You have been, well, you're actually the godfather of one of my children.
That's exactly right.
Thank you. You're my son Cameron's godfather. Right. You have been on this show many, many times in the past 23 years on topics ranging from poetry to baseball, and sometimes both at the same time. I don't think there's anything you cannot discuss intelligently. You know, as a matter of fact, we had Kevin Young on yesterday. He is now the new head of the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. And he was talking about the facts that poets, in a way, have to be historians. And when I follow you on Facebook and read all of your writings, you do a lot of reading of history, don't you?
Oh, sure. And I think I might have gave Kevin Young his first reading outside of the Boston area.
Wow.
Yeah, because I always thought that Kevin Young would probably be poet laureate of the United States, you know. And in fact, I think at an AWP conference, I put my arm around Kevin Young and Natasha Trethewey. And I said, when are you going to be the next African-American poet laureate? And Natasha Trethewey became that. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for Kevin, and also that Dart Room Collective that he was part of was just amazing in terms of genius.
How has it been for you during the course of the past year during this pandemic? Because for people who don't know Ethelbert Miller, he roams the streets of Washington. You can look up in any part of this city and see him simply walking down the street, often with a book in hand. How's that worked for you this past year?
Well, it's cut me back because, you know, walking, I don't take the I wasn't been on the metro. I really haven't been out, but I've used the pandemic, like with many other people, you know, in terms of your inner search, you know, the inner journey. And also slowing down, I've entered my seventh decade, you know, and so it's a time for me to be productive, you know, to do the things I want to do. And so I'm happy with where I'm at right now. You know, I got two books coming out this year. But I want to mention this, Coach Joe, to your listeners. You are so important to me personally. And in terms of your love and appreciation for culture, and especially poetry, Because if we look at, you know, poets trying to get into the mainstream, or just getting on air, or just getting their books reviewed, you have that love. And that's something that, you know, as a person dealing with communication, I don't, you know, you can't take that for granted, you know, that, that somebody will be on the show and they can read a poem. And the person across likes it, you know. And so I just want to say that in terms of, I know there's many people that you've had on your show who are probably grateful that you gave them a wider audience.
You also host your own weekly radio show, and at, I'll mention the station, WPFW,
yes.
WPFW Radio in Washington, where the other one I call a young'un, Askia Muhammad, also works, because both right. you and Askia are a mite younger than I am. What do you think local radio offers that is unique?
I think you can see by the people who called in, you've created the community, you know, and the community of intimacy, you know. You're a place in terms of which issues of race and sex, all those things can come together, and people can sit around, you know, the microphone and share that expertise with a wider audience. So it's almost like saying, okay, you're around the fire, you stroke it, you keep the rest of us warm, you know. And that's why I joke, because when they honored you at that a couple of years ago, at the Howard Theater, you gave away those Kojo mugs. You know, I'm not giving my Kojo mugs to the Smithsonian. Kojo, I'm not giving them to Smithsonian. those are going to be passed down to my grandkids. You know?
I really appreciate that. Here now is Joel in Washington D.C. Joel, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Kojo, we go back to Even Exchange at Howard University.
This is Joel Harris.
Yes, sir, it is. It is.
One and only.
Hey, man. Well, I just want to let everybody know that what you do is not by accident. You're one of the most well-read and person who does research on all of his guests. I mean, I think you deserve some time off, because people don't know that the hours you put in before a show to be able to do a show. And because you know these people, even through the writings and the research you do, you can be comfortable with them on the air. I just hope that you can pass that on to younger journalists to understand the work that goes in to get the output on the other end.
And another friend and I tried to launch another project, and we had a couple of meetings at my house to do that. Never got off the ground. But Joel, it is always a pleasure to hear from you. Joining us now is Dan Reed. Dan Reed is an urban planner and author of Just Up the Pike. Dan Reed, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kojo.
Dan, before I talk to you about all of the stuff that you do, I think it's especially about how long you've been listening to this show. There's something that you've probably been listening to longer than you've been listening to this show. This is the music that Dan Reed probably grew up listening to, Trouble Funk. Yeah, Dan Reed. Is that what you grew up listening to?
Absolutely. Hard not to.
And how long have you been listening to this show?
At least 15 years. I mean, as long as I've had control over the radio dial, which I did not growing up. It was mostly sports radio.
Yeah, because you said that growing up, public radio didn't always feel like it was for you. Why not?
You know, I think a lot of the voices I heard on NPR growing up were white, and most of the spaces I would keep NPR in would be like going to the doctor's office or something, right? And mm-hmm. What drew me to your show from the jump was being able to hear not only a black voice on public radio, but to hear a voice from Guyana, as my mother's family is also from that country, and it's a small country, and it's a small community here. And, you know, you and your show have helped me feel rooted not just in my family's heritage, also help me feel more tied to this place where they chose to make their home.
You're an urban planner, and you've written a blog focused on our region for the past 15 years. Why, in your view, is local journalism so vital?
I think it's important not just as a means of getting information out to the public, but as a part of telling stories, right? You know, we have, or we want to have a shared history and understanding and narrative of this place, and local news is such a big part of that. You know, telling us not just what has happened in our past, but helping to center us in this current moment and what we can share together in being present here.
Here is Greg Carr in Silver Spring, Maryland. Greg Carr has been a guest on this show many times. He's the chairman of the Department of Afro-American Studies at Howard University. Greg Carr, welcome.
Baba Kojo, it's good to hear your voice, brother. Congratulations.
Thank you kindly, my brother.
Oh, of course, of course. Listen, man, I just wanted to call in and lend my voice, and I know there are a lot more coming after me, so I'll keep this very tight. I was reading some Howard Thurman the other night, and he was talking about the universality of principles, how all of us, all human beings, have common wants and needs. And, brother, I just want to say to you and to everyone listening that as a person who brings our common humanity over the airways every day, and to do that coming out of your unique experiences as a human being of African descent, you've been a model for me, man, as a teacher, as a convener of a classroom. And the more I learned, I came to D.C., I came to Howard the year after you started the show here. And to realize, listening to your comrades, listening to people in the community, and then learning for myself, when I hear Kojo for Kids, I'm hearing C.J. Wototo. I'm hearing drama W-O-L, man. And when, I mean, every day the daily drum still comes on, and insight follows it, leading into the quiet storm. Y'all invented all of that at WHUR, and you were the news director, brother. I mean, so folks, yeah, please understand, you know, when this brother moved here to join up with the Center for Black Education, I guess that was 52 years ago, you came to learn to teach. And you have been doing nothing less ever since. So, I mean, just all respect and Asante Sana. Thank you so much, brother.
Well, thank you, Greg Carr, for being the great teacher that you are. And Ethelbert Miller, you should know that just about every time I see Greg Carr, I tell him how his face reminds me so much of Kwame Ture, former known as Stokely Carmichael. I never let him forget that. So, and it's something that he's actually pretty proud of. Greg Carr, thank you so much for joining us. Ethelbert, you have written two memoirs, and you teach classes in memoir writing. I'm planning to write my own story now that I'll have more time. Got any advice for me as I embark on this project?
I got two advices. One, don't write anything trying to get back at anyone. Number one.
Okay, there goes that motive.
Right, right. And then, you know, ask yourself, what can a person learn from my life, you know, and what have you been witness to?
Okay. What can someone learn from my life? But the thing that interests me in writing a memoir is precisely the second point you made. What have I been witness to? Because I consider myself an observer of life, and there's observations that I've had since childhood that I would really like to share. So thank you for that advice. I know you've prepared Go ahead.
No, and also keep in mind, and maybe your radio show does this, it's also going to be storytelling. You're going to tell a story. And so the anecdotes, the humor, all those things have to come into your memoir, or should come into your memoir.
Okay. I know you've prepared a poem to read. What is it called?
It's called Divine Love. And, you know, many poets have signature poems, you know, like Sterling Brown has Strong Man. And so because this is your last show, I felt this was the most fitting poem. Divine Love. I wish I had loved you many years ago. I would have loved you like Ellington loved jazz and Bearden loved scissors. I would have loved you like Langston loved Harlem and the blues loved Muddy Waters. I would have loved you like Douglas loved to read and Garvey loved parades. I would have loved you like Zora loved stories and Du Bois loved suits. I would have loved you like Lewis loved boxing and Mahalia loved to sing. I would have loved you like Carver loved peanuts and Wheatley loved poems. I would have loved you like Jimmy loved Lorraine and Ozzie loved Ruby. I would have loved you like Martin loved Jesus and Malcolm loved Allah. Love you madly, Kojo.
Thank you, Ethelbert. E. Ethelbert Miller reading his poem of the day, so to speak. Here now is Sue Boucher in Fairfax, Virginia. Sue Boucher was an employee of WMU when I first joined the station. Sue Boucher, welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Kojo. I just wanted to say congratulations. I'm so excited for you, even though you'll still be there on Fridays.
Well, just know that after this pandemic is over, when you're having your next cookout, I'd love to be invited.
You certainly will be invited. And, you know, you said earlier that you had to grow to love your audience and listeners and the staff, and that's not true. You came in loving everybody at the station and treating us all with respect, and it was just a wonderful place to work, and I loved working with you.
Thank you very much, Sue. Here now is Joseph in Silver Spring, Maryland. Joseph, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. This is Joseph Flowers. I interned with the station from 2006 until I left the station in 2011, and interned specifically with your show in the summer of 2007. And I just got to say, you know, I appreciate so much of who you are and what you have in it. And I wish you all the best as you transition. And then also just want to thank you for all the opportunities with Diane Vogel, Brendan Sweeney, and Tara Boyle. And I wish you all the best.
All names that helped to make this show happen. Thank you very much for your work with the show too, Joseph. As a matter of fact, speaking of student interns, Raymond Whedon tweets, thank you for making space for students to amplify their voice and those who support our young leaders to have a trusted partner. You treat each with respect and expertise. Thurgood Marshall Academy will miss you and look forward to hearing about your upcoming adventures. Yes, we actually did a broadcast from Thurgood Marshall Academy and enjoyed it a great deal. Ethelbert, you got any questions for me?
Well, I think one other person that worked for you was Terry Cross Davis, right?
Of course, the great poet.
Yeah, she's down at the Folger.
She's down at the Folger right now. As a matter of fact, we heard from Terry when the station had on, I guess it was Tuesday, the station had a virtual farewell for me. Terry was one of the people who participated in that. And if she's listening, Terry Cross Davis, thank you very much. Any questions for me, Dan Reed?
Yes. So my mother came here from Guyana in 1971, and every summer she talks about going back. She has yet to do so. You went recently, and I think she would like to know, how is it?
Well, the first thing she'll notice is that since she's been here since 1971, she will see virtually nobody she knows, because a lot of those people have also left the country. I have a few friends and relatives still in Guyana. I go back generally for high school reunions. Most of the participants in those high school reunions are people who also live outside of Guyana. But the thing that will welcome her to Guyana is that she will remember the great vegetation and the fruits and the vegetables and the fresh food that we got from the markets. That is still very much there, and that is what I pine for from time to time, and that is what will welcome your mom back to Guyana.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Any other questions for me?
Well, yeah, I mean, so I've had the privilege of sitting in your chair as a guest host many times, but I'm curious, you know, as someone who's been on radio for decades, you know, what makes this special for you? What has kept you going all this time?
I like radio because of two things in particular. One, as a host on radio, I actually do more listening than I do talking. And I think that listening is a skill. We are now so, all of us, involved in communicating on such a variety of media and in such a variety of ways that it is my view that we don't spend enough time listening. And the one thing you have to do in radio, whether you are a host or literally a listener, is listen. So that's what I enjoy. The second thing I enjoy about radio is its intimacy. Most people listen to radio when they are by themselves. And so the radio host is only really communicating with one listener at a time, even though a former colleague of mine used to talk about his vast listening audience. You're really talking to one person at a time, and as a result, you develop a relationship with that individual that can be intensely personal. And I think that you don't really get that from any other medium but radio. Now I think you might be able to get it from podcasts, because people also tend to listen to podcasts by themselves. But for me, that's what radio is all about. Ethelbert, you got any more questions for me?
No, other than I'm going to miss you, man. You know, that's why I'm glad I got these mugs.
Wait a minute. Here now is Diane in Landover, Maryland. Diane, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
A much well-deserved goodbye, Kojo. I remember a very young Kojo from Evening Exchange, and look how far you have come.
Okay, thank you very much.
I just want to thank you so much for caring from your soul about the other souls you have enriched with your wonderful edification and information about the world and the globe. We love you dearly, and we miss you, and all the best.
Thank you very much. And as Greg Carr said before the Evening Exchange, there was WHUR Radio and the Daily Drum. Here now is Sandra in Washington, D.C. Sandra, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. This is Sandy Jowers Barbara. And
hey.
Hey, how are you?
You interviewed me.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to thank you for. It was one of my fondest and best interviews. You were so gracious, are so gracious. And I'm just very happy for you that you're taking this time to do what you want to do. And I heard Ethelbert talk about the book. So now that I know you're doing a book, you'll have to come back. We'll do the interview again. And I'm going to say publicly, we need to do your oral history if it hasn't already been done. So keep me in mind for doing that. I will follow up.
I have done an oral history with the History Makers, and it's available online there. But Sandra, I will look forward to seeing you again. And when things open up, I know I'll see you at the Hitching Post. Here is Diane in Landover, Maryland. Diane, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. Hi, Diane. Are you there? Well, Diane seemed to have left us momentarily, so I will go to Kimberly in Washington, D.C. Kimberly, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. My name's Kimberly Williams, and I came to Washington, D.C. to go to film school at American University in 2004. And I was an eager student back then, and I remember somebody saying that there was somebody named Kojo who was going to do this thing at the I Street Synagogue with a fundraiser. Would you be willing to go film it? And so I did. And I have you and somebody else on mini DV tape tucked away. The footage was never used, but I have no idea the quality when I think about how long ago that was. But you've been inspiring me for many years since then. And I just, you know, the caller before, the gentleman that said you are a national treasure, you are. And you have elevated this city and helped to, you know, connect communities. So thank you very much for everything you've done so far, and we'll look forward to what you're going to do moving forward.
Thank you very much, Kimberly. Josh emails, thank you for doing the most important thing ever for the statehood movement, telling the life stories of people who live in D.C. You help show your listeners and the world that we are real people who love each other, our fair city, state, and our country. I hope you return to the air to help us celebrate becoming the 51st state. Well, Josh Kurtz, you know that if and when that happens, I'll certainly be there to do that. Dan Reed, thank you so much for joining us.
As always, thank you for having me.
Dan Reed is an urban planner and author of Just Up the Pike. E. Ethelbert Miller is a poet, educator, and literary activist in D.C. Ethelbert, thank you for joining us.
Many blessings, Kojo.
This, our final episode of the Kojo Namdi Show, was produced by Julie Deppenbrock and Lauren Marco with assistance from the entire Kojo Show team. I thank them and all the producers and engineers who came before and helped to make this show a success. Over these past two decades, I've had the privilege of sharing thousands of conversations on these airwaves. None of it would have been possible without you, our listeners. You not only tuned in, you called, emailed, and tweeted your thoughts, insights, opinions, and questions. You are the ones who made the Kojo Namdi Show not just a broadcast, but a community. And for that, I thank you. Now I'd like to share some words of wisdom from one of my favorite writers, Frantz Fanon, the author of the book Black Skin, White Masks, and the book The Wretched of the Earth, words that have guided me over the years. He wrote, quoting here, "It is the role of each generation out of relative obscurity to discover its mission and either fulfill or betray it." It is my profound hope that this show has fulfilled its mission of keeping the residents of this region informed about events influencing the quality of life here, and as a result have been able to make intelligent decisions about their lives based at least in part on what they heard in this space. That said, here's my marching song.
up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Yeah, that song speaks for itself, Bob Marley. I hope you all will continue to join me on Fridays for the Politics Hour. Tom Sherwood and I will continue to raise the issues that matter to you with local officials. Tomorrow is no exception. We'll welcome D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. Until then, thank you for listening and stay safe. I'm Kojo Nandi.
The Kojo Nandi Show is produced by Julie Deppenbrock, Sydney Granin, Lauren Marco, Kurt Gardiner, Richard Cunningham, and Ines Renike. Our managing producer is Ingelisa Schrobsdorf. Our broadcast engineer is Rashad Young. Today's engineer was Mike Kidd. For past shows and more content, visit kojoshow.org.